What's up, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of The White Flag, a podcast for people who are feeling restless in their walk with Jesus, who really are feeling overwhelmed by the culture of noise, and who are looking to grow in what it means to surrender to Jesus in our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. I'm your host, Jonathan Moynihan, and another way that I've put this is, this is really a show for people who want to get off the endless treadmill of spiritual exhaustion, who are tired of just trying to follow Jesus out of human striving, and who are looking to embrace the joy and the rest that is found when we surrender to Christ. And like I said, this is our very first episode of the podcast, and I cannot thank you enough for being here. Like, seriously, we live in an attention economy where your time and your energy are the most precious resources that you have. And so if you are here with me right now, man, please know I'm incredibly excited, and I'm humbled, and I'm grateful to have you here on this journey. I hope you stick around with me and keep growing with me. Now, the truth is, if you're listening to this, there's a really good chance like you're just a friend of mine. Like, I don't have a massive platform or anything, and there's a good chance you are either a friend of mine or you attend our church where I preach and teach at Mosaic Christian Church. Shout out Baltimore. What's up? And the thing is, though, I know there might be some people tuning in watching this who don't know me, don't know Mosaic or anything like that. And if that's you, man, I am crazy humbled that you are spending some of your time with me here on the show. And I would love to hear from you, hear about how you heard about the White Flag. So you can hit me up via email and contact me on my website, jonathanmoynihan.com. I'd love for you to do that if you have no tie to me, but you find yourself here experiencing the show. But I launched this podcast because over the last few years, I have been on a journey where I have slowly but surely been leaning into what I call practices of surrender to Jesus. And as I've navigated heartache and hardship and even some trauma in my life, these practices have been the thing that have kept me going. And not only have they kept me going, but they kept me grounded, and they've actually helped me have a bigger view of faith and of Jesus and of what I call being an apprentice to Jesus, just imitating his lifestyle and his ways. I've just learned so much about what that looks like. And that process began with God before the craziness of the pandemic. But as I watched 2020 unfold and kind of take its toll throughout the country and the world, I've become heartbroken, not just for the big moments in society, but because I've watched COVID expose things in people's faith, and I've seen people lose their faith, lose the thing that brings life and peace and joy, because it's what God created us for. And so as all of this has gone sideways, I found myself pouring more and more of myself into these ancient practices of surrendering to Jesus. And the thing is, despite all my insecurity and all of my perfectionism, and I'm a recovering people pleaser and my fear of failure, despite all of that, to me, the time was now more than ever. And I feel like people in our world, especially in our country, in America, they need a practical and applicable guide to help uncover what surrendering to Jesus really looks like and why it is so essential for them. Like, what it's like to find true rest and peace with God. And my goal is to help people see that this is the way forward as the pace and the posture of our world grows increasingly hostile to Jesus, not just in his talking points, not just into what he preached, but also into the lifestyle that he lived, that the nature of existence that we have as people right now in 2021 is becoming increasingly hostile to the rhythms and pace that Jesus actually modeled for us. As I said in the teaser of the show, I called this the white flag because for thousands of years, literally, the white flag has been a sign of surrender. And I want it to be something that you and I would adopt as a sign of our posture of our faith. I mean, I was doing some more research about this, and I found out that, like, regardless of where people are from or what their geography is in the world, the white flag has been this universal sign of surrender. Historians even suggest that in as early as 25 AD, the Eastern Han Dynasty in China used it as a sign of surrender. And then less than 100 years later, the Roman historian Tacitus indicates that the white flag was used as a sign of surrender in 109 AD. I mean, fun fact, it is a war crime if you wave the white flag but don't surrender. And it's a war crime if you attack someone who is waving the white flag. So this could not be a better symbol for us as we seek to surrender to Jesus. And with all that being said, this platform, the white flag, it exists to help you learn what it means to adopt a posture of faith that leads to surrender. And my goal is that you would really come to believe at your core that real intimacy with Jesus. I know that's a word we don't use a lot, but real rest, real peace, real comfort, safety in a productive way. Not that safety is what we pursue at all things, but safety with God. Touch the microphone there. Real transformation with God begins when you come to the end of yourself. Now, I titled this episode, What COVID Exposed About Our Flawed Faith Formula, because all of us are at a crossroads right now. And as we slowly but surely kind of get back to normal, I mean, even this past week, our church, Mosaic, leveraged our facility to become a vaccination center for our county, which was awesome. But if we're not careful, we're going to fall back into what Dallas Willard calls reactive patterns, which are those things that we do without thinking, without real intention, and they're just the things we fall back into by default. And if we're not careful, we're going to fall back into what we did in the past when it comes to our faith. We're going to fall back into the things we used to do to connect with God. We're going to fall back into the patterns that defined us, that produced the fruit or lack thereof in 2020. And so what I want to help us do is take a moment to pause and evaluate whether what you were doing was actually producing the faith that aligns with what Jesus promises. Like to take a moment, as we step back into normal, don't just hurry and, you know, seek to expedite a return to normal, but take a moment and ask yourself, was the formula of my faith, the things I was doing, did they produce what Jesus promises? And is there a problem or a disconnect between what I experienced in the midst of craziness and what Jesus promises us in the midst of craziness? That regardless of circumstance, there's a joy and a connection and a gratitude that can be experienced because of Jesus. Now, something I'm not proud of, I'll tell it to you because I'm going to keep it real. Something I'm not proud of is when I'm having a really stressful week or my lead pastor's having a stressful week. One of the things that we do with some other people from our team is we'll go out and get Wendy's for lunch. And let's just say Wendy's is not fine dining. It is also disproportionately expensive for fast food and not even the best. But we'll go to Wendy's and we'll eat it. I mean, I don't even pray for my food when I eat Wendy's because I'm not going to be like, Lord, bless this food to my body. Like, it's not going to bless me. This is going to make me feel like trash later. But it's something that we do. And last fall, we were feeling stressed. So my lead pastor, Carl, and I, we hop in his little Hyundai and we drive to Wendy's just down the road and we start processing together about what COVID has exposed in our world. And he shares some things and then I start ranting and I start like drawing on the, you know, glove box of his little car. And what I shared then has still just stuck with me. Because here's what I think COVID exposed about us. The thing that we need to be cautious of as we try to expedite our way back into a new normal. For most of us in America, we're kind of pitched this equation when it comes to faith that if we just do A plus B plus C, you get F, and F is faith. And so we're told that if you do A and you do B and you do C, you're going to get a strong faith and you're going to be fine. And, you know, I'm guilty of this at times when I'm not intentional, but we've told people that A means attend church on a consistent basis. B means read your Bible, even if it's just the verse of the day on the YouVersion app or something. And then C means be in a small group, like have some community or some version of community and just be in a small group. And so we've kind of been taught that if you attend church and you read your Bible, even just a little verse once a day, and you're in a small group, then you're going to have a strong faith and you're going to be fine. And that sounds good on paper. But the real quality of a theory is when it gets tested and put through a trial. And that's true not just for Christian theory, but cultural theory, postmodern theory, anything that gets pitched to you as truth must be tested and tried in order to know that it's valid. And for most of us, COVID was that trial for our faith. And the bad news is our faith formula for many people got exposed as incomplete. Like these things, the church and the Bible and being in community, ABC, of course, they are necessary for your faith. Listen, this is not a show that's going to be about like, well, let's just distance from the church and just pursue and focus Jesus. Like, you cannot love Christ and despise his bride. That is not what this is about. I'm not going to bash church or any of these practices that we are all called to do. But what I am saying is that if all you do is have like a weekly check-in with God by attending church sometimes, and if all you do is read the one verse on the YouVersion Bible app, and I have nothing against the YouVersion Bible app, but if that's like all you do, and if all you do is like check in your small group occasionally with people, you are going to dramatically fall short of the private, intimate, nuanced relationship with the Spirit of God that He desires for you. by surrendering to Jesus. I mean, I know people who have the YouVersion app who don't really get a ton out of it, or they have some other app or some other way of tracking their Bible reading, and like they feel validated because they have a reading streak. But if you talk to them about their time with God in the deep, intimate parts of themselves, like they have no answer. And I've been there before. I know. See, what I want to propose to you is that this equation of A plus B plus C, it's not terrible. It's just incomplete. And what we ought to be doing is surrounding these practices of being in church and being in the Word and having solid community and being in small groups. We need to take all these practices and put them in almost a parenthesis and have something that provides a compounding exponential growth to it. And I believe that the compounding exponent, whatever, I'm not a math guy, you know that. The thing that goes here that magnifies being in church and being in the Word and being in community are these daily spiritual disciplines of surrender. The thing that we've been missing out is that we've had these almost performative metrics and performative disciplines that help us have commune with others and community with God, but we've been trying to do them without this daily spiritual discipline of surrender that Jesus has called us to. And so what I want to propose is we need to take being in church and reading the Word and having real community and experience them within the framework of having a daily rhythmic lifestyle of surrender to Jesus. I want to talk to you about adopting practices like silence and solitude, about embracing habits like digital disconnection and withdrawal to go and connect with God. I want to focus on realizing that we need to reclaim what does it mean to have a quiet time. Like over the last 20 years, having a quiet time has become this sort of like performance metric that if you do a couple of them throughout the week, you feel closer to God and you feel better during like the music or the worship or whatever. But a quiet time is not a list of things for you to do. It's a time for you to be quiet and spend time with the God who died for you on the cross and who loves you, who wants you to bring all your crap to him and experience it together so he can redeem it and restore it over time through faithfulness. See, I think many of us, if we're honest, we hunger and thirst for something transformative on our walk with Jesus. We don't want to stay the same. We want to become someone different. We want to make a big difference. But as COVID in 2020 has exposed, our faith formula has been incomplete. And right now, we're actually in a hard place, but a good place, because we've distracted ourselves over the last year, having not been able to be in community, not been able to gather as a church. We're just being discipled by our phones constantly. We've distracted ourselves into a state of spiritual oblivion. And I think that's a good thing if we acknowledge it, because it's out of desperation that you and I are going to come to the end of ourselves. That we'll learn that you can put aside the reactive patterns that have formed, maybe the fake identities that you've clinged to over time, and step out into the risky business of what I call courageous surrender. And listen, this show isn't about being passive and just letting life happen. It's about an assertive courage required in order for you to experience Christ in such a formative way, because it takes courage to do these things. It takes courage to pursue quiet for your soul instead of constantly filling your mind with content-laden sermons. It takes courage to experience a wordless presence with God instead of filling your morning with wordy prayers. It takes courage to pursue soul-restorative practices instead of filling your calendar with endless religious activity. And sermons and wordy prayers and serving in your church, these aren't bad things at all. The Christian is absolutely called to serve their local church, to pour themselves out for the mission of Jesus to seek and save the lost. Absolutely, that's true. I want all of us to do that. But I want to operate not from a place of human striving and my own effort. That's going to fail. I want to operate from a place of surrender, so that as I go do those things, I am operating out of the overflow of my rest and my peace and my joy with God one-on-one. In Eugene Peterson's brilliant paraphrase of the Bible, he calls it The Message, and he summarizes the words of Jesus in Matthew 11:28. And just listen to how he phrases what Jesus promises us. Jesus says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me, watch how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." This is the abundant promise of Jesus. And when I read it, I think, I want that, and I wonder, how come almost no one I see models this well? In Luke 10, there's another story of these sisters, Mary and Martha, and they're getting ready to have Jesus over for dinner. It's a big deal. Like, the Son of God's coming over. You're freaking out. The only time I clean my house is when I have company coming over. So I can imagine this was a big deal for them. And when Jesus shows up, Martha is scrambling everywhere to clean and get ready for him. But Mary just walks towards him and sits down like at his feet and just spends time with him. She's present with him. And as the story goes, Jesus sort of corrects Martha because Martha starts complaining. She's like, Jesus, I've been working so hard. I've been slaving over the food. I'm making this place look great. And Martha's just sitting there, or Mary's just sitting there at your feet. What's going on? And Jesus, look what he says to her. He says to Martha, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Man, that's so good. I love that passage. Listen, here's what this podcast is about. I want to help guide you into Mary practices while living in a Martha world. And I don't think I'm crazy for this. Ever since I've started working on this, even at the back end of 2020, I've started to see more and more, even in our secular world, indicate that they're desperate for the type of things we're going to talk about in the White Flag. Harvard Business Review put out an article that said, why you need an untouchable day every week, aka honor the Sabbath. Wall Street Journal put out a piece that said, quote, how being more productive starts with doing nothing, aka you should probably slow down and get centered on yourself and realize it's beneficial to the human condition to withdraw from work and actually take some time for yourself. I mean, our world, I'm convinced that anthropology, sociology, psychology, all of it is going to end eventually point to theology. Because as we become more aware of our human condition and as science develops, it's just going to uncover how right the words of Jesus has always been about our existence as people. And that's what this platform is going to be about. Helping us discover that real intimacy with God begins when we come to the end of ourselves. And by adopting these ancient practices of Jesus, practices of surrender, my prayer and my goal is that you and I would learn how to have a faith that not only thrives when chaos like COVID hits, but we become resilient disciples who can model the way for people in our world, for people who do and don't follow Jesus, so that when someone hears about the promises of Jesus, of being free and light, they're going to think about us. Not because we're special or because we're significant, but because we've discovered, as Mary did, that the real strength of faith is found when we surrender to Jesus. So here's my challenge for you today. Each episode, my goal is going to be to share some principles or have some great conversations and then take some time to apply these principles in our life. And while today was kind of an overview of all the problems I'm trying to solve, there's still some work you can do this week before you jump into episode 2, my interview with Tyler Staton from Brooklyn, New York. So here's my challenge. Based on everything we talked about today, set aside some time, either today or in the next 48 hours, I want you to grab a pen and paper or a journal and put on some headphones or go into a quiet place. And I want you to evaluate and write down what has been your faith formula this past year. What have been the things that you have been striving toward, hoping that it produces faith? Have you been watching church online? Have you been gathering occasionally? Have you been doing Zoom small groups every few weeks? Have you been filling your schedule to the brim, hoping that it'll finally make you feel complete? Has it involved you sitting and being on your phone for the cultural average of 5 to 9 hours a day while you're being discipled by digital media? I mean, if I read out a faith formula for you, for John, for Mark, for Jelani, for Caitlin, for Jess, for Sergio, what would it look like? What is your faith formula? Write that down. Spend some time with God and write down what are the things that you've been doing that you hoped would produce faith. And then underneath all of that, all those notes, I want you to write down in big letters, am I living free and light? That's it. And whatever response that question elicits, am I living free and light? I just want you to take that to God. Journal, talk to him, go for a walk, process with him. Listen, the only right answer to this exercise is doing it. The only way you get a bad score or wrong answer on this is you don't do it. So go take some time. Step out with me. Let's figure out, how did we get here and how do we move forward? And let's be people who embrace surrender and begin this process of coming to the end of yourself. Hey, thanks for tuning into the first episode. It is a huge honor. You know, there's going to be kinks and tech stuff and, you know, all the things we'll have to figure out as I navigate this. But I would love, love, love to hear from you. I would love to hear how these practices of Jesus are impacting your faith. So please hit me up on Instagram at jonathan.moynihan. Or again, you can contact me on my website, jonathanmoynihan.com. And as always, hey, if you live near Baltimore at all, come visit me in person by checking us out at Mosaic Christian Church. We got services on Sundays at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. And you can always get more information at our website, mosaicchristian.org. All that will be in the detail, episode, stuff, whatever, any platform that you're listening to. But hey, this is a huge honor to have you here with me. If you're here by now, woo, love it. Thanks for joining me. We'll talk again soon. Be well, and let's surrender together.